Proverbs 31, verse 10 through 31, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not to the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Father, we come this morning, and we have honored that great position that you have created and designed, and that is motherhood. And we honor the mothers here today. And now, Father, we look at this passage, the virtues that you count honorable to be found in a lady, to be a wife, and a mother. And so, Father, teach us from this passage. Help us to grow. Help us to strive for this mark. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. Here's a passage that was written by a king, recording the wise counsel of his mother regarding finding a wife. Now, many would believe that Lemuel is another name for Solomon, and that it was Solomon. This I do not know for certain, but there are many that would believe that. Nonetheless, we know he is a king. We know that he had a good mother that gave him wise counsel when it came time to consider a wife. Now, these are the virtues that a young man ought to seek in a prospective wife. Now, let me say this. Today's Mother's Day, and the focus is what the Bible has to say for ladies. But you take an awful lot of these virtues, and a lot of these character traits are wise for men to practice as well. Man, your day is coming in June, and we'll talk to you in June. Today is Mother's Day. Today is a day for the ladies. But in this, it is also a time for men. I want to challenge our young boys that are not yet married. I want you to listen to this. You're not too young to set down a goal in your life to seek for a wife that is striving for the excellency of these great virtues. I learned that young. My parents drilled that into me when I was your age and even younger. And so when I started looking for a wife and wanting to get married, the bottom line is she had to be a godly young lady. And she had to have not the perfections of these virtues, but the desires and the ambitions of these virtues. and were being demonstrated in her life, even in high school. Now, I would not necessarily recommend that you look to marry while you're yet in high school. Get your high school out of the way. But I have no regrets with my high school sweetheart. Billy and I were high school sweethearts. We dated in high school. But even in high school, these are the basis of the virtues that I looked for a lady. Now, I got the added blessing because she has always been a beautiful lady. But I looked for virtue. And young man, I've not been disappointed. I searched her out. I found her. And I asked God for her. God gave her to me. And I have not been disappointed. And she has helped to make our marriage a wonderful marriage. And so I challenge every young man to look for this. In verse 30, it gives a contrast of beauty and virtue. Now, there's nothing wrong with being beautiful. But the problem is when somebody puts all of their focus on beauty, it typically tends to sensuality. And so virtue is always the greater of the two. And somebody has put it this, a woman can spend hours and hours and dollars upon her beauty and open her mouth and show an ugly spirit. A guy can do the same thing. Somebody has said if women stopped using beauty products around the world for 1 month, it would bankrupt the world economic system. I do not know whether that is true or not. Virtue represents the qualities of moral excellence, righteousness, and personal responsibility. And here we have the exaltation of virtue. The virtuous lady described in this passage ought to be the desire of every young lady, but every lady as well. Now, do understand, some have said this is the perfect woman. Other has said this is the ideal woman. Let's be candidly honest. No lady can ever become the perfect lady any more than I can become the perfect pastor, the perfect husband, the perfect father. However, as we read in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, Paul says this about his Christian life. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, you and I understand that we will never attain perfection, but we strive for the mark of godly excellency. We have been called by the name of God, and we are children of God, and we ought to strive, men, women, and children, to live worthy of the name that we are called by. And so here we have a lady that is portrayed in Proverbs 31, that is said to excel them all and give the blueprint of how you should strive to live your life as a Christian lady. In other words, to be everything that God can enable you to be in your life. I want us to look at some of these character traits and how this blueprint is put together. First, I want to consider the character as defined in here. First, she is a godly woman. And you'll find many of her characteristic traits and virtues, they define the godly woman. In verse 13, 15, and 19, she is an industrious worker. Verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. We see she puts in a long day here. She is a worker. Folks, there's nothing wrong with work. God ordained work before the fall and before sin entered in. Enjoy work. Thrive in work. Delight in work. Strive to be responsible in work. Be industrious. She was an industrious worker. One of the things that I read here, she riseth also while it is yet night. I was reading somewhere about an individual speaking of his mother, and he said he never remembered a time that he got up and his mom was still in bed. His mom was always out of bed and getting breakfast ready and getting things ready before the kids got out of bed. And I thought, well, that's nothing new. That's how I remember my mom. I never remember our kids ever getting out of bed before she was out of bed. And she was getting breakfast on and getting things ready and getting the day rolling. Now, do understand, I grew up in the traditional rural family environment where there were chores to do. And I mean, a lot of times we would get up and mom would be up and she'd be getting breakfast ready. And dad and I would go out and start with the chores and we would come in and breakfast would be on the table and we would have breakfast and then we would start the rest of our day. But I never remember a time. And then I got to thinking, I doubt that our children can think of a time that they got up before my wife got up. She was always up and got the kids up, had breakfast. She followed. She knew she married a farm boy and a ranch boy, so she kind of followed in those steps. Always was fixing a full breakfast and everything every morning. And so here's a woman that was ready to get up in the morning, took care of things, and she was an industrious worker. And she put in long hours, almost longer hours than I would like. Not only up first thing in the morning, but she'd light the candle and stay working late into the night. Now, I'm not saying every lady needs to work that kind of hours. But she ought to be an industrious lady that knows how to work. Now, this is interesting. Because this is a mother telling her son, who was anointed to be king, what kind of a wife to marry, even though a king and his wife and his queen would have a castle full of servants to do everything for them. And so she was telling him, if you want a good wife, you need a wife that's not a wallflower just to wear the crown, but one that knows how to be industrious in the home. She had ingenuity. Verse 16 and 14. She considered a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. In verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. She may have been a stay-at-home mom, I don't know, but here she knew how to get out and do the work and market and how to make money and prosper in what she was doing. Ingenuity. Now here again, and I'll use my mother in several illustrations because that's the mother I know best. But I remember one year, she would always look for ways to make some money to help fun things there at the farm and ranch. One of the things she would do is she would always raise a lot of extra chickens, and then we would milk the cows and we'd get the cream separated and she would store that. She would take the cream and the eggs into the local store, sell them to help buy groceries. One year, and she said she would never do this again. One year, she ordered her baby chicks. She normally would order about 100 baby chicks every spring to raise chickens and to butcher and put in the freezer and then have new laying hens for the year. But one year she ordered, and for whatever reason, they kept doubling her order to where she got 1,000 baby chicks. Some that have dealt with it are just shaking their head, no way. And mom thought that, you know, rather than declining them. And they always came through the post office, and here's a small town post office, and they get a call out there, come and get your chicks. Our post office is full of baby chicks. But she decided, rather than try to either sell the baby chicks or give them away or whatever, she was going to try to raise 1,000 baby chicks that year. Well, the mortality rate was not good. And she thought she could sell them as fryers, and people would be banging door down to come buy the chicken. They'd take it home and butcher it. Nobody else wanted to butcher their own chickens. They would only buy them if she would butcher them. And so she said she would never do that. But there was that ingenuity of trying to figure out how to make an extra dollar to take care of things. Impeccable behavior, verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She had that behavior that was honorable. She wasn't a cranky gal. She wasn't a selfish. She wasn't filled with anger all the time. We find here was a lady with impeccable character, the moral graces of a godly wife or a godly woman. So first we see she is a godly woman. The second thing I see in here, she is a godly wife. She seeks the husband's good. Verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. You've heard the cliche behind every great man is a great woman. I believe that statement probably should have its origin from Proverbs 31. You will find that behind some of the men of greatness, whether it be in the Christian faith or just in society at large, you will find a woman behind them that has propelled their success to be what it was in life. And had they not had that lady as a wife, they would have never experienced even a percentage of the success that they enjoyed. And here is a wife that is a true helpmeet to her husband, to help him succeed in God's calling in his life. Verse 11, she is trustworthy. It says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. She's honest. Over all of the years of our marriage, Billy and I, Mrs. Miller and I have never had cause to not trust her. Quite frankly, in the years that we had, that we dated, courted, or however you want to put that together, if I could not have trusted her then, I would have never married her. And after all of these years of marriage, she has never once given me cause to not trust her. Now, we may not have always agreed, but that's part of the relationship. But she has never once given me cause to not trust her. In her moral behavior, in her handling of finances, in her handling of the children, in the issues of life, she has been absolutely trustworthy. And let me tell you something. That is a virtue of virtues. Because when trust is abandoned, when trust is violated, that so fractures a relationship. And trust once violated is so hard to rebuild and to regain. As her husband, I will go out of my way in transparency to let my wife know she can trust her husband. And my wife has lived in such a way that demonstrates this virtue right here, that after all of these years, I have never once had cause to mistrust my wife. And then in verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She supports her husband's success, and this goes back to verse 12 as well, in being a good helpmate. So we've seen she is a godly woman. She is a godly wife. She is also a godly mother. In verse 21, she properly clothes her family. It says she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. As a child growing up, I never had to worry about having clothes. Now, they may not have always been the latest design, and they may not have always been the most expensive. In fact, my mother made a lot of my shirts up until, was it junior high or beginning into high school? And she made all of our shirts. And she would always keep a block of material from the shirt she made us. And I forget at what point, it may have been graduation or sometime thereafter, she took and used that material, and she would make a little caricature, a little guy, and put it on a quilt block. And I still have it. This quilt and every block, there's a little guy made out of material from one of my shirts. And I would look at different ones and say, there's one of my favorite shirts. I wore that till you could read a newspaper through it. There was another one of my favorite shirts. But all those years, she made my shirts. And she quit making them for me. And I never understood why, but she quit making them for me. Because she thought by the time I was middle of junior high, going into high school, she thought that I would be embarrassed to wear homemade shirts rather than store-bought. And I wish she would have kept making them. They never embarrassed me. I always liked the shirts my mom made. She did the same thing for the girls with dresses and all of that. And now, she was frugal. Boys are hard on jeans. And we outgrow them. And now the jeans I wore to school, they were newer, or they were secondhand in good condition. But the jeans that I wore for work, if they started to get a hole, she had patched them. If I had started to outgrow them, she sewed a little bit of an extension on the bottom of the leg, whether it matched the material or not. Now, those were a little bit, oh, come on, Mom. But she always saw to it that we were dressed and we had what we needed. Now, understanding that I wore patches on my jeans working, I think one of the most detestable things is to buy faded jeans and to buy jeans with holes, or buy a pair of jeans and go cut holes in them. I hated that, because when mine got holes, Mom put patches on them, and I'm glad she did. I always wanted those new ones with that brand new indigo blue, not faded. That's what I wanted. I just don't understand some of this today. But she always made sure that us kids, we kids, whatever's grammatically, either way, she made sure we had the clothes we needed. Verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maids. She feeds her household. She fed us. My wife fed our kids. They always had the meals they needed and did a wonderful job with that. Prudently shops, verses 14. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. In verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She's not out there just spending the money however she wants to, but she scrutinizes her purchases. She's a wise businesswoman in handling the affairs of the household and making the purchases. So here we see she is a godly woman, a godly wife. She is a godly mother. And then she is even a godly neighbor. In verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. In all of the busyness of her life, she still had time for others. Now, not a lot, probably. But she did what she could to reach out to those in need. Let me repeat what I said earlier. For young mothers and for mothers that still have a house full to keep up with. I had said earlier that one lady was lamenting that because she had a larger family and had many kids, that she simply was not able to be involved in the ministry as she wanted. And her pastor, a very wise man, encouraged her and said, "You have one of the best Sunday school classes that anybody could ever have. You have one of the greatest ministries a lady could ever have, and that's to raise up another godly generation." And so I want to be careful here. And when I talk about this industrious lady, that I don't present it in such a way that it is beyond possibility, or to simply put a guilt trip upon anyone that, you know, there's no way that I could ever meet or measure up to that. If God asks for a cup of water, that's all He demands. He only asks us to do proportionately to what we can and what He gives us to work with and what we can work with. Now, here's one that where she is ministering beyond her household. But certainly, there are limitations as to how much that can be when consumed with taking care of children in the home. And understand, that does not make a lady less godly than another lady. There is a tremendous opportunity and a tremendous work in the home, but there are opportunities and God enables to minister to those beyond. And she does it with a spirit of kindness. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. So here we see the spirit of kindness to others. Her assessment, we've seen her character. Here's the assessment that's declared by others. In verse 10, we see her value. She has said her price is far above rubies. Well, I got to wondering, what are the price and what is the value of rubies? Why didn't they say diamonds? Well, I wrote this down on the history of rubies. The history of rubies is a story rich in splendor and mystery. These precious gems have been mentioned in the Bible, worn by royalty throughout human history, and believed to protect ancient warriors in battle. They have been thought to act as a talisman for peace and promise of wisdom and health for the holder. They are associated with love, passion, and power. But for all that, their very existence is still considered to be something of a geological miracle. Experts and professors around the globe are yet to settle on a precise explanation for how rubies are formed. It's known that a ruby is, in essence, a type of corundum, which is itself colorless when pure and turns ruby red when chromium is introduced. Sapphires, incidentally, are also a type of corundum created when titanium and iron are part of the mix, turning the stones beautiful shades of blue. But the conditions needed to create rubies are so rare that a definitive explanation for their creation remains elusive. One thing is for certain, rubies are one of the most precious gemstones in existence, commanding the greatest price per carat of any other gem. Even ancient civilizations recognize their value, and the word that comes out of the Sanskrit language is translated king of precious stones. Well, not real sure of the environment that creates a godly lady whose value exceeds that of ruby, but I believe a godly home is the right kind of environment to start with that can produce another generation of virtuous ladies. She is the queen of precious ladies. So there we see her value. Her praise is stated in verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Out of all of the accolades that an individual can get throughout a lifetime, and out of all of the commendations, there is probably no commendation more dear to the heart of a lady than to have her child say, "Mom, I really believe you're the best. You have done well for me. You've taught me well. And I highly honor you." There is probably no greater accolade than that. Her excellence, in verse 29, it says, "Thou excellest them all." Her secret is found in verse 30. She is a woman that feareth the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It says elsewhere in Proverbs. And so here is a lady that all of these virtues stem out of, the beginning of a heart that simply loves God, walks with God, and strives to honor God in every aspect of her life. Here is God's challenge for every godly girl or lady to strive for. We are not talking about becoming the perfect, but we are talking about the pattern, the blueprint that God has set before us, that we strive for that. When I have gone out target practicing, I always aim for the bullseye, but I don't always hit it. But I have never just fired it randomly at the target. Likewise with this, the virtues extolled in the Bible ought to be what we strive for. Herein is God's counsel for the values of a godly man and how he ought to seek for a godly lady for his wife. And so in essence, this course is for both men and women. And God be praised. Father, we come to you today. And again, I thank you for each mother. I thank you for each lady that is here. And Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct in their lives. And Father, I plead for each of the ladies and the young girls, that it would be in their heart to strive for the values and the virtues that you place most highly. And Lord, that men would strive for these same values of godly character, so when they have children, they would be committed to raising up another godly generation, that we may be to your praise and to your glory in this world. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.